Welcome to the Professional Plumber Podcast. We hope that these podcasts will bring some insight into who we are and what we do. So while in conversation with the PIRB, sit back, enjoy, and make sure to connect with the PIRB on Facebook or at pirb.co.za for more.
A warm welcome to our audience. My name is Willem Klopper. I am your host, and this is part two of an episode in which we discuss the plumbing five-year strategy as driven by the PIRB, IOPSA, and various other stakeholders within the plumbing industry. Now with me in studio, I have Mr. Lee Smith, the chairman of the board of the PIRB, and I have Mr. Brendan Reynolds, the executive director of IOPSA. A warm welcome to the both of you, gentlemen, and thanks for joining us in studio.
Thanks, Willem.
Thanks, Willem.
We'll give our guests the opportunity to introduce themselves right after this.
Don't forget to download the all-new and improved App Plumber from the Google Play Store. All your plumbing solutions are just a click away, exclusively for Android users.
All right, so as usual, just before I shoot with all of the other questions, just a brief introduction of yourselves.
I'll kick off, Willem. I'm a plumber by trade. So I've been in the trenches, understand the difficulties of being a plumber, the difficulties of being a business owner. I've been in the trade for 20 years. Came up, as I said, through the trenches with my dad also having a plumbing business. Studied construction management as well. Got very much involved with the Institute of Plumbing and about 25 years ago. Through that process, instead of sitting on the sidelines and, you know, shouting and saying, you know, what are you doing, you know, for me? Or for us, I got in and said, well, let's make a difference by doing rather than shouting. And then through that process, one of the activities that we undertook was the creation of the Plumbing Industry Registration Board, and the PIRB was created. It went off and started to do its own activities, working very closely with the Institute of Plumbing. And currently, I serve as the chairman of the Plumbing Industry Registration Board.
Brendan.
Thanks, Willem. Yeah, so I have been in the plumbing industry for about 25 years. I'm not a plumber, but I've been involved in many aspects of the plumbing industry, from retailing, selling, importing, a little bit on the manufacturing side of things. I'm third generation in this industry. Early on, I understood the value of having a plumbing association. And about 6 years ago, I left the trade and went into a different business with my wife, and really always longed to be back in this industry. It gets into your bones. And so when the opportunity arose, I came back as the executive director of IOPSA about 3 years ago.
So let's get back to the pillars of the five-year strategy. Would you care to elaborate and explain the pillars, please?
Yeah, cool. So the pillar number one is coordinating the ecosystem. And this really speaks about having a central point or a unified communication network. So currently, if a young person wants to know how to become a plumber, there's so many different messages coming to them from various different places that it becomes very confusing. The stakeholders in the industry are running in different directions. So trying to achieve certain goals, very often similar goals, but through different methodologies. And what happens is we start working parallel to each other, and at times we start working at cross purposes to each other, where if we coordinate, if we're able to coordinate what the majority of people in the industry are doing, then we'll be able to achieve much, much better goals. And this needs to be done intentionally. So we need to, and that's why you need a strategy document, so that everybody is on board to achieve the same goals, the growth and the upliftment of our industry. And then, just to grow the consumer's understanding, as you spoke about, is the consumers getting mixed messages from all over the place. There's loads of different people communicating all sorts of different things about how to be a plumber, what it means to be a plumber, what a plumber should be doing or shouldn't be doing, or can you use a qualified or not qualified plumber, or, you know, all those sort of, there's so many mixed messages that consumers really are confused and they don't know what is right and what is wrong. So it's about coordinating the stakeholders and all the players in the industry to work together towards common purpose.
Yeah, no, I just want to add to that is that there's a perception out there that this machine is broken. The reality, it's not broken. It's just firing at different times. And as Brendan indicated, that it's running at cross purposes. And it's just a matter of aligning them, bringing them that we're all on the same hymn sheet. We're all talking exactly the same language. And we know that if an apprenticeship is needed or a learner needs to go through the process, this is how the process, not being told by, well, no, you got to do it like this. And then the next person adds his 5 cents in and then they go in this direction and that direction. So the elements are there. They just need to be aligned and brought into the right direction.
Yeah. So the second pillar is driving growth for the future. And this is one that's particularly close to my heart. That we need to start looking at the new technologies that are available in the world and what opportunities these present. So many years ago, the plumbing industry changed at a very slow pace. Not only the plumbing industry, but industry changed at a very slow pace. What we're seeing is that change is speeding up. There's more new methods, there's more new products, there's more different materials that we've never seen before. There's fourth industrial revolution type things that are coming into play. And in a lot of ways, the trades generally, not only plumbing, the trades have for a long time sat back and said, well, we're kind of immune to this because, you know, we work with our hands all day and every day. But what we're seeing more and more and more is technologies coming in that are catching not only our industry, but the trades in general completely unawares. So it's about looking towards the future, the opportunities that the future holds, how we get our industry ready, how we make sure that our standards and our laws and our teaching and skilling, how that is ready for the changes that are coming, and how then our industry can become more successful in the future. And then part of that, a big part of that, obviously, is the issues around green technology and water risk management. So, you know, not only so South Africa is a water scarce country, but more and more we're starting to see that the world is a water scarce place. And how do we prepare ourselves as an industry for what's coming at us? There's some quite scary things that are coming at us, but there's great solutions. So how do we get ourselves ready? How do we make sure that our laws and standards are ready for these technologies? And how do we make sure that plumbers are trained adequately in order to take advantage of these? And some of them can be really, really lucrative and really great for plumbing businesses. So very, very exciting one, this.
Yeah, it's one don't want to fall behind, you know, lag behind. I mean, I think certainly that's where one of the methods used is CPD, continuous professional development, for plumbers to keep up to speed with what's going on, the new trends, the new methods, the new technologies out there.
What was that, Willem? Sorry, what was that word that you used? I'm a bit lost there. What is the CPD about? Sorry, I'm just being facetious.
So, I mean, I always compare it with you know, if you go to a dentist and you have to have a teeth pulled, and this dentist says to you, yeah, sure, have a seat. And, you know, I've been trained by my journeyman 20 odd years ago. And, the only method that I know and the only tools that I have to my avail is that I'm going to pull your tooth with a pliers. And if you're willing to just sit down and I'm going to pull your tooth, that's all because that dentist didn't keep up with latest methods, new tools that he can use. And I'm sure that people will not in this day and age choose that specific dentist and will not sit in that chair.
Unless they're willing to pay for that. They're not willing to pay a professional fee. They've got a choice, haven't they? I just want to add to Brendan's, he spoke specifically about growing the future in the technology side with regards to the trade itself. But we mustn't forget that the pace of business has increased considerably, and the pace with not the pace, the technology changed within a business operations is completely different than what we did 5 years ago. So it's also that aspect. I mean, I had a conversation with somebody yesterday about the different new applications for businesses making our businesses paperless. So yes, it's also that aspect. It's just not about the technology side, not the technology side, the trades side with regards to the new pipelinings or the new different polymer pipes or whatever it is. It's also on the business side of things.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And just to get back to your point about CPD, and CPD is really important in talking about driving growth for the future, but it actually goes even deeper than that, because there's some technologies that are coming in that CPD type training would just be completely inadequate to deal with those issues. And some of them, we actually need to learn completely new skills. So it's an element of it's a bit of both. We need somebody that's looking at the future and seeing what's coming at us, instead of currently what's happening is the technology or the products arrive on our shores, people start using them, and we really don't know. Our laws are not ready. Our standards are not ready. We're not training people in the colleges and in the schools to use these products. So for them, it's a completely new skill in some instances that they need to learn. It's a bit more, CPD is important, but a little bit more than CPD.
We were also looking at proud to be a professional.
Yes, correct. Yeah, 100%, which is very much in our domain. Not that, again, so let's be clear when I say our domain, because we're the professional body. It's about changing that perception of that plumber, changing up, and that's working with the plumber to uplift him. And when he uplifts himself, is changing that himself, his perception of himself, and then pushing that on, once we change that perception, onto the consumer to say, use a professional. So it's quite a big task, this. It's not because we're coming from a very low base. And I mean that with all due respect, because of the way in which a plumber's trade was seen and eroded over time. We now have to work with the industry and change that perception by bringing all the elements. And once we change that idea and that perception, we can now start shifting it onto the consumer and the broader context, onto the learners coming into it, because we struggle to get learners into the trade. It's immense, a massive problem. They, in the industry, everybody wants to run off to university. So we have to uplift that. We're on the cusp of where we have lifted it up to a level where we can now start going out into the broader concept, the consumer, and to the learners. When I say the learners, I'm talking about the students, and inviting them into the trade as well from that perspective.
But it's just good to know that it starts within the plumber themselves, and that perception needs to change there. They need to realize their worth and their value within civilization. I mean, civilization cannot exist without plumbing. What are we going to go back to the Ice Age and go and dig a hole if we need to do a number one or a number two? So the perspective needs to change from within themselves. If you don't believe in yourself, then how can anybody else believe in you?
And I think it's also, you know, we touched on earlier about the foundations with regards to participation and transforming the industry. This is a big component in that specific space, is that, you know, we must be seen as one industry, you know, not just about, you know, previously disadvantaged people. They, you know, they're on the tools and they don't, you know, they're not there to come up. Not that. We need to bring everybody together, everybody as one, and we stand as one industry when we move forward.
Yeah, I think the element there that speaks very much to me is pride. Having been fortunate to travel to some other countries in the world and interact with plumbers and training institutions in other parts of the world, you know, the tradesmen in general and specifically plumbers are really actually very highly regarded in society in many, many other countries across the world. And yet in South Africa, it's almost treated as this throwaway profession. Like if you can't do anything else, then go into a trade or into plumbing. And that's a very sad state of affairs for a trade that is so critically important and critically important to the future, because the future of not only South Africa, but the world the changing environment and global warming and water scarcity and that sort of thing, plumbers are going to be super, super critical. And really, we need to be proud that our industry is a really, really important industry, as we all saw during COVID.
Absolutely. Before we continue with our conversation, have a listen to this.
Plumber training has never been easier with articulated plumber courses. Enroll now to upskill yourself at your own pace and earn CPD points. Our informative and easy-to-follow courses can be found on iopsitraining.co.za. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Articulated Plumber.
And now, back to our conversation. The last, one of the four pillars, empowering legislative environment.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I wouldn't say a tough one, but it's a necessity, a key point. You know, it's interesting to note that in the National Building Regulations, the only trade that is mentioned is a plumber. But yet, anybody can basically trade as a plumber in South Africa. Just go down the road. There's no formal registration. There's no barrier to entry. We have certain municipalities that have some form of register in the country. That's literally two out of 260 municipalities. And we as an industry, while the professional body has started that process and started the rock and the cornerstone of that thing, but it's still a very long way to go with regards to becoming a proper environment in which plumbers can operate in. Because, I mean, going back to the previous one, you know, professional environment, if you want to be a professional, but anybody can enter the trade and take your work away from you, then you can't. It's how difficult it is to create that specific environment. I used to use the example of and again, no disrespect to teachers, is that teachers would say, well, I've had enough of teaching. I'm now going to go and take my pension. And what you find is a lot of them shift into the building space or the plumbing space or the trade space. But so they can move into your space and take work away from you as plumbers. But yet, if I wish to become a teacher, you have to be registered. You have to meet a certain requirement, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm saying, well, what's the difference?
Exactly.
And let's not forget how important plumbing is in the broader perspective of the built environment.
But Lee, it's clear that only when people understand the risks that are involved with plumbing done incorrectly and not according to a standard and not being governed, if I can put it that way, for a lack of better words, not being sort of
held accountable
and governed. It's only when people start to understand that they realize the necessity of the legislation that needs to be in place to make sure that plumbers are qualified, that plumbers do have the correct knowledge and skills and competencies, that they do work according to specific standards. Because if each one of them just do their own thing, can you imagine that? I mean, how things would fall apart. And certainly, it's only then when people start to realize, okay, the necessity of what you're saying now.
Correct, 100%. I think the challenge is that it's shifting from that space, from the space of ungovernance to a space of governance. And that's where the big challenge lies in, is because when you start shifting, the cats all start screaming, you know, and those who are in the right space are okay. But those that are in the wrong space, what they would do is they try and devalue the process because they don't want to change instead of uplifting themselves and moving to the right space. So and that's where one of the biggest challenges coming, just to extend on that specific thing, is that the biggest argument in the sector is that I go and quote somebody, right, as a professional, as a PRRB who I will issue a certificate knowing I've got to be audited, yet the person who is unqualified and doing the thing incorrectly has got a lower margin than what I have. And therefore, now who's right and who's wrong? Where I get supported it from the legislative environment or the legal environment versus the people that are running amok. And that's where the gap is, where to go. We got good laws in the country. We got them there. They are clear. The failure is the policing and the enforcement and the accountability in the process.
For sure. Yeah. And that the current situation that we're in and what we've been through over the last 10 or 15 years is this negative spiral. So what happens is the qualified plumber who employs people on a permanent basis, who invests in his staff with training, who takes on apprentices, who has invested in plant and equipment and vehicles and that sort of thing, is out in the market competing against somebody who hasn't done all those sort of things, and therefore their costs are a lot lower, and they just take people on a casual basis, on a job by job basis. They don't necessarily have insurance in place. They don't necessarily pay all their statutory things like UIF and taxes and VAT and that sort of thing. And so what happens is let's call it the legitimate plumber competes against this unqualified person who's at a lower rate. So eventually the qualified person starts losing out more and more and more work. So the qualified person has to do something to keep his business going. So he then starts changing the type of material that he's using, and he starts changing the type of installations that he does, and he starts changing the way he employs people and the way he pays people and the way he invests in his people. And eventually he's able then to drop his costs. The unqualified person then just drops his price a little bit more. And so we start getting into this negative spiral where the quality of work goes down, the standard of material used goes down, and it's a never-ending spiral. There's no bottom to this. Unless there's somebody that intervenes and stops it and says, no, you know, you have to comply to these minimum criteria. And that's an important thing that we often forget, is these are minimum criteria. So we're not even at the moment complying to the minimum criteria. And to be dead honest with you, the way our legislation, as Lee said, we've got very good legislation, but it's not set up in a way that that adequately protects the plumber and ensures that the plumber is able to grow their business successfully, charge the type of rates. And we're not talking about overcharging. We're not talking about price gouging and that sort of thing, but charges a rate.
Sustainability.
It's a sustainable rate. That's a great, thanks, Lee. A sustainable rate to be able to grow their business, invest in their people, and in that way, invest in the economy of South Africa. Exactly. And grow the economy of South Africa. And if you look at the local South African manufacturers that have fallen by the wayside, where we've lost thousands of jobs over the last number of years with local manufacturing being decimated. And a lot of that is to do with non-compliant, cheaper non-compliant product coming into South Africa that has a real material effect on those manufacturers, and then a downward effect onto the consumer who's getting a substandard product.
Sure.
Substandard installation, et cetera, et cetera. So it's really important that legislation supports and empowers the plumbing industry.
So we were talking about challenges now and the downward spiral that you're talking about. Let's talk about the challenges in compiling and implementing the five-year strategy.
It's there's challenges every single day. It's not, let's not put it down to specifics, if you know. It's I think it's the starting point. Starting point is getting everybody onto the same thinking. And I think we've done quite a good job with that specific thing. It's advocating where our long-term objective is, and that will break one of the first barriers down. Then it's obviously just trying to bring everybody aboard, you know, kicking and screaming, if you want to put it that way, trying to align them to that specific process. And you know what? It's not, as I said to you, it's there. It's the elements are there. It's just tweaking them slightly and shifting them and moving them in the specific direction and herding us all in one direction. So yes, I can't think of anything specific, you know, with challenges. I mean, Brendan, I don't know if you can think of anything specific. Without getting into a specific detail, but from a broader context, the elements are there. It's just making sure that we get it in the right direction.
So I would say probably the biggest challenge is especially when you're dealing with government and various different government departments. Again, they have their own goals and objectives, which very often are politically motivated or politically driven. And they change with the politics of the day, where as an industry, our goals and objectives don't change with political changes. You know, they're there and they set, and that's what we're working towards. So sometimes it's a little bit of a challenge to get them to understand and get them to buy in when they've got their own goals and objectives. But I think in the main, the strategy has been extremely well received, and I must be honest that that a lot of very senior people in a lot of different government departments, municipalities, and other organizations are quite quick to grasp what we're trying to explain to them, and to understand it and to see the benefits not only for our trade but for the country as a whole.
All right, so let's get back to the two industry bodies, PRB and IOPSA. What roles will each of these respectively fulfill in the implementation of the five-year strategy?
Yeah, well, I think, as I said earlier on, to be clear, it's not our object. It's not our strategy. It's an industry strategy. Obviously, you need somebody who needs to lead that process, you know, take leadership in that specific, guiding everybody in a direction. And I think that's from a very broad context. That's what we take. We step into that specific role. We fulfill quite a bit in that specific thing, but we bring a lot of the other stakeholders in that specific stream along and guide them in that the direction. So I think we it's more about fulfilling a guiding and an implementation, in other words, kickstart the process, but it should, industry should take ownership of that specific process. Easier said than done. Let me tell you that.
As always.
But that's the intended objective. So we don't want to, it's not about IOPSA and not about PROB.
Yeah.
It's about the industry, and the industry needs to own the specific process. It's the same as going back to proud to be a plumber. We can't own that ownership.
Absolutely not.
You as the plumber needs to own that specific thing. We can only give you the tools to be proud.
Sure.
Yeah, so I think Lee's hit the nail on the head. It's about creating an enabling environment. So how do we make certain resources, knowledge, skills, that sort of thing available? And really, I think a lot of what we're doing is starting at the real grassroots. So we're interacting with schools, we're interacting with colleges, and we're bringing this concept of pride and how important a plumber is, and how important the role is, and how good a career you can actually build for yourself as a plumber. So that's really where it starts, even at school level, and then moving through to the college level and the apprentices, and then, you know, making sure that the trade tests are adequate, that the curriculum is adequate and that is improved. And then, as Lee said, providing resources, knowledge, and skills, and that sort of thing to plumbers, et cetera, et cetera. And then a lot of interaction with various different government organizations in terms of ensuring that plumbers and the trade of plumbing and the industry of plumbing is recognized and its importance is recognized. You know, just an example is in the water sector, when you talk about the water sector in general, the plumbers are very often, almost always, excluded from the conversation. So the water sector tends to start talking about bulk water, and that's all they think is important. But somebody's got to put the tap in where the water's got to come out.
For sure.
And somebody's got to dispose of that wastewater into the bulk system. So if it's trying to get all these various different levels of government and different industries to recognize how critical the plumber is in the country and in the industry, and raising that profile is a really key element to what we're doing.
Yeah, I spoke earlier on about the bee and pollinating. It's exactly that. It's creating that environment. And I think I like to add in, and Brendan just touched on it, is creating the opportunity for you as an industry to buy into it. Yeah, create that framework and the opportunity that you can say, well, I'll put my name. We spoke earlier on about an initiative that IOPS is doing with, yesterday you said, 9 trade schools. Is that right?
Yeah, so as an example, there's 9 technical schools in Gauteng that offer plumbing. They call it civil services. I don't know why they don't just call it plumbing, but anyway, they 9 technical schools in Gauteng that offer that as a subject choice, and we very much involved with them. Again, as I said, it's about making resources available, helping raise the standard of education, help raise the technical knowledge of the teachers that are involved. How do we tie the school into the various colleges that are available that then youngsters can, once they've matriculated, can move into a proper apprenticeship? How do we tie them in with the plumbing companies in the area, and the manufacturers and the merchants and the retailers who can help them with books and with manuals and
materials
and posters and all this sort of thing? You know, it's actually quite scary when we were interacting with the teachers that plumbing over the last few years within the school system, the basic education system, had almost become that throwaway subject. All the other classes are full, so you must just go and do plumbing. And that's a very, very, very sad state of affairs. And it's the truth. You know that I think Gauteng, this past matric class, there were 58 people that took plumbing. 58.
Out of 8,000 odd schools?
Yeah. It's frightening. So then if you start to extrapolate that and you say, well, people are learning plumbing in colleges, but the people that are learning plumbing in colleges – don't even have the most basic understanding of plumbing. In many instances, they have to teach these young people how to use a tape measure, or what the difference is between a hacksaw and a wood saw. And I'm not joking. It's literally what the case is. So then your graduate at higher education level, so your graduate from the college, their knowledge is much lower because the base that they're starting from is much lower. So if we need to firstly make plumbing more attractive as a career choice for these young people in school, and then uplift the standard of education at the school, that will allow the college to start from a much higher base, and they will produce a much higher caliber graduate at the end of an apprenticeship. And that's a key way. So this is an example of the type of thing that we're involved in. And, you know, very often I think plumbers on the ground are not aware of this type of thing. And also maybe not aware of the amount of time and effort that goes into trying to address these type of issues. But, I mean, if we produce in Gauteng 58 matriculants with plumbing, that's something that really is quite scary. It frightened me, to be quite honest.
Yeah, and you just listen to Brendan. He just explained a microcosm within the school environment. Now, take that learner who's now pushed through the process. He gets into the formalized industry, and then they don't even recognize him as a professional, or so you can understand it's not just that wheel. There are numerous of wheels that are in this process that all have to knit together to actually achieve an outcome.
Yeah.
And again, that is where the document came from, is to pull all these elements together to get this alignment of thinking. Is that put all these keys and all these cogs and put them and line them up and make sure that they are greased and pulled together from from the perspective that they all align and run together, that we produce the right plumber that comes out that we as a sector can be proud of.
Yeah, it's there's no silver bullet. There really is, and that we've come to recognize that there is definitely no silver. There's no one silver bullet. It's not this engine is not running as it should, and it's not like we can pull out one spark plug and replace it with a brand new spark plug, and then all of a sudden the engine's going to work. No, the oil needs to be changed. All the spark plugs need to be changed. The fan belt needs to be changed. That is really the situation. People need to understand that this is an industry and it's a system. It's not as if you fix one thing that everything in the industry will be fixed. No, we've got to address a number of issues along the whole value chain. That's the only way that we're going to fix things.
Yeah, sorry, Willem. Brendan makes a very important point. It's that, and from the plumber's perspective, you know, Brendan said that they don't realize the elements that happen, you know, and they have this mindset that why don't you just do that? It doesn't work that way. There's too many other cogs that you don't see that feeds into that specific process. Like, why don't you just get rid of the bucky plumbers? Well, you know what? It's not as simple as that. There's a whole machine that comes behind it. It becomes it's starting off right from the bottom all the way to the legislative environment, to you as a plumber yourself, uplifting your skills, your professionalism, your pride within yourself.
Just before wrapping up this conversation, have a listen to this. We'd like to encourage our audience to follow Articulated Plumber on Instagram and Facebook to learn more about any exciting and interesting news that we may have. Our handle on both Instagram and Facebook is Articulated Plumber. So, Lee and Brendan, I want to thank you for having joined me in studio again. I did so at the beginning when I introduced this episode. I want to thank you for the information that you've shared with us. Any last words from either one of you to the audience?
Yeah, I think the only thing that I would say is that, you know, we've been touching on it all the time. It's not about us, PROB or IOPS. It's we as an industry. We got to work together to achieve this, that objective, you know, and it starts with the plumber on the ground. Start uplifting yourself. Start looking at yourself differently. Start looking at the bigger picture. Don't just be narrow focused on it's all about me. Think about us as an industry. Think about the bigger picture. Yes, it is. We understand it's about you. But don't think about the bigger value proposition, because if you address the bigger value proposition as an industry, you will get that value as well coming through to you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, from our side, just to all the plumbers in South Africa, is just to firstly say thank you for the hard work that they're doing and that they're keeping the water flowing in our country. But own that and be proud of that and stand up and believe in yourself and believe in your industry and believe in your trade, that it really is one of the most critical trades in the world, and it really, really, really is going to be impactful in how the world faces the challenges ahead of that. And be proud of that and stand up and own it and be proud of it.
Thanks, Estate, gentlemen. That concludes part two of this episode, in which we have discussed the plumbing 5-year strategy as driven by the PIRB, IOPSA, and of course, various other stakeholders within the plumbing industry.
Thanks for having tuned in. Make sure to read more about the PIRB on our website at pirb.co.za and on our social media channels like Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.